Yes. All right. Guys, those are just like a few passages that talk about righteousness. There's so much more. I'm going to be, if you want to open your Bible, we're going to just listen, talk about Romans 3, verses 21 through 26 for just a few minutes. Romans 3, 21 through 26. That's what we're going to look at today. But there are so many other passages. If you just go on Google and you look up what does the Bible say about righteousness, there are there's websites where it just brings up pretty much every verse that the word righteous or righteousness is used, and it goes on forever and ever. If you want a book that talks a lot about righteousness, you can read Romans. Paul talks so much about righteousness in the book of Romans. So if you want to just be reading a book for the next few weeks, read through Romans and think about what does Romans say? What does Paul say about righteousness? Today we're going to be in Romans 3, 21 through 26. And today, before we get on to what else there is to say about righteousness, we kind of need to lay a foundation, something key to righteousness, something that we all need to know and be sure of. What'd you say? Romans 3, 21 through 26. Bless you. All right. So righteousness, in a sense, we had a lot to say about righteousness, right? The Bible has a lot to say about righteousness. In a sense, righteousness is living the right way or doing the right thing so that we are in right relationship with God. Okay, that's kind of what righteousness is. And God desires for us to be righteous. God desires for us to be righteous. God desires for us to do the right things, to live in the right way and according with God's law and God's design. Okay, obeying God is part of what it means to be righteous. Obeying God, obeying his law. Righteousness is good. Righteousness is really good. Righteousness is something that we shouldn't avoid, but something that we should actually pursue, that we should hunger and thirst for, right? Who had Matthew 5, 6, right? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. Righteousness is something good that we should thirst for, that we should pursue, okay? Because if God wants what's best for us, right? And if God wants what's best for us, then obeying him or living rightly with God is actually the best thing that we can do, because we're trusting and obeying and living in tune with the God who created us and wants what's best for us. So righteousness is good, okay? It's really good. But as we prepare to talk about righteousness over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about how we should pursue righteousness and what that might look like in all of our lives. But before we kind of get into the practical or different passages that maybe talk about what does pursuing righteousness actually look like for us, we need to lay a foundation first, okay? This is the foundation. Our righteousness, our ability to do right, our ability to obey God's law, all good things, that's not actually what saves us. It's not what justifies us, as we're going to read here in this passage, okay? It's not what makes us right with God. Our righteousness doesn't make us right with God. Our righteousness doesn't. Righteousness is good, but we aren't always too good at living righteously, okay? Let me read these verses, and then we'll talk more about this, okay? Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested, or it's become a reality, apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. All right, so Paul's talking here and talking about righteousness and the righteousness that we find in God, the righteousness that God displays, God's righteousness. Righteousness isn't good. So, but what does Paul say in verse 23, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Righteousness is good, something that we should pursue, but righteousness isn't something that we can actually pursue perfectly. In our pursuit, in our thirst and hunger for righteousness, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be righteous by our own ability. We're not going to obey God's law and will and design perfectly. Because Paul says, right, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And righteousness, being righteous, pursuing righteousness, hungering and thirsting, doing the right thing, living in tune with God, doesn't put us above other people, right? What does Paul say in verses 22, if we start at verse 22, or the end of verse 22? For there is no distinction, right before verse 23, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Paul says there's no distinction. Being righteous or not being righteous, being righteous doesn't make you greater than other people. Pursuing righteousness doesn't make you greater or more worthy of God's love or of God's being a God's child or in God's family. Being righteous doesn't make you any of those things, because all have sinned. All of us, we've all sinned and fall short of actually what it means to be perfectly righteous, to be perfectly good and obedient and living in tune with God. The only thing that actually makes us righteous, with God, is God's righteousness displayed in Jesus. If you look at verses 23 through 25, okay? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. There's this faith and righteousness kind of relation again. And this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. We see God's righteousness displayed in Jesus. Jesus came perfectly in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was perfectly righteous. Jesus perfectly lived in tune with God and in obedience to God the Father. And so we are righteous not because we actually have the ability to live perfectly and righteously, but because Jesus has. And this was to show God's righteousness in the end of verse 25. Jesus was sent to actually show God's perfect righteousness, what we couldn't actually obtain ourselves. So your status, this is the foundation I want to make sure we lay as we talk about righteousness, okay? As we pursue righteousness. Your status as God's child or as God's beloved isn't dependent on your righteousness, on how good you can obey these things that we should pursue and that are good. But it's actually dependent on Jesus, okay? This is how Paul opens this section in verse 21, right? But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. How has the righteousness of God become known to us? It's in the gospel. It's in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. It's in Jesus, the perfect one, the whole one. That is how the righteousness of God has been actually become our reality. It's in Jesus. God's righteousness has been made known to us. It has come to earth not through the law, not through us being able to obey the law because we can't perfectly, but it's actually ultimately through faith in Jesus. There's that relation again, right? In Hebrews and in, where was it else? It was somewhere else too. There's a relation between faith and righteousness, because our righteousness actually comes from faith in Jesus. Our rightness with God comes from faith in Jesus. That's where we find our rightness with God, our status as beloved and children of God. And this is the foundation that we always need to remember when we're talking about righteousness, okay, or pursuing righteousness. Your pursuit of doing what's right, your hunger and thirst for righteousness is good, but it doesn't earn you a friendship or relationship with God. It doesn't earn you God's favor, your righteousness. This is the foundation that we need to know. We can know God, okay? We can have a relationship with God. We can be God's beloved children because Jesus is actually the manifestation of righteousness. Because Jesus is the one that came and displayed perfect righteousness for us and on our behalf. And Jesus was perfect in every way. And we are one with him when we put our faith in him. So when God desires righteousness and God sees us, he doesn't see our righteousness that we try hard, that is good, right? It's good to pursue righteousness, but he doesn't see our failed attempt at pursuing righteousness. He sees Jesus' perfect righteousness. When we have faith in Jesus, we're one with him, and God sees Jesus. Let me just close with a story, okay? That kind of gives a picture of maybe what a pursuit of righteousness looks like in our lives, okay? Some of you guys know Art. I knew Art since I was 15 years old, okay? He's been a mentor to me, a friend in a lot of ways. And I got to spend, when I was in high school, I got to spend a lot of time with Art. Art, like, poured into me. He loved me. He cared for me. He helped me to know God better. And I got to spend a lot of time with Art. One really cool thing about Art is Art was like a youth ministry major in college, and I really wanted to be like a ministry or youth ministry major in college. So when I was in high school, Art was already out of college, but he went to college kind of close by, and he texted his old professor, and he said, "Hey, I have a student who's really interested in youth ministry. Can we come sit in a class one time? Can you come sit with me in a class?" And we got to go to Nyack College, which isn't there where it's at anymore, but we got to go to this class, and I got to sit, as a 15-year-old, I got to sit in this youth ministry class. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And the really cool thing is, right, if I didn't know Art, I would have never got to go into this class. I would have never had this privilege of going into class. But because I knew Art, because I had a friendship and relationship with Art, I got to go into this really cool place that I would have never got to go by my own merit. Or by, like, if I called up this professor, maybe he would have been cool and been like, "Yeah, sure," but it would have been different. Maybe he would have been like, "What are you talking about? You need to pay to take classes." But because I knew Art, I got to go to this class, okay? I think in the same way, we get to be a part of God's kingdom, not because of who we are, not because of our righteousness, but we get to be a part of God's family because of Jesus, because we know Jesus, because we have faith in Jesus, right? So the reason we get to be part of God's kingdom or part of God's family isn't because of who we are, but it's because of Jesus, and solely because of Jesus. But while I did get to go to some pretty cool places with Art, I spent a lot of time with him, and his love and care for me was like so evident. It was so real. Another thing ended up happening. I didn't just get to go to cool places because of who Art was, but I spent so much time with him, and he loved and cared for me so well. And we formed such a friendship and bond that actually I wanted to be like him too. I wanted to be like him in his best ways and in his best attributes. I wanted to be like him, like fun and intentional and loving and caring, pursuing goodness and friendship, a dreamer and fun and whimsical. I wanted all these things that I saw in Art. I wanted to be those things too. Okay, I wanted to love others the way that Art had loved me. I wanted to pursue goodness the way that I saw Art pursuing goodness. So Art didn't just get me into places, but spending so much time with Art, actually, it called me to a better life. It called me to a new life, right? Similarly, I think when we think about life with Jesus, when we have faith in Jesus, not only does it give us a new identity as a child of God, as God's beloved, but also knowing Jesus, having our faith in Jesus actually challenges us and encourages us to have a new life, to have a better life, a life in pursuit of righteousness and goodness. So it's not just that. What I want to say is we don't just stop here. We don't just say, okay, Jesus' righteousness is good enough for me. I don't need to pursue righteousness. But actually a life with Jesus is actually one where we pursue righteousness because we want to be more like Jesus, because Jesus is perfectly righteous. So as we talk about righteousness over the next few weeks, over the next 5 or 6 weeks, try to remember this, this foundation, okay? Jesus' righteousness welcomes us. Jesus' righteousness welcomes us into God's family, first and foremost, okay? It's not by our merit, it's not by our righteousness, but it's Jesus' righteousness. And it calls us to a new and better life, a life in pursuit of righteousness. Okay, so Jesus' righteousness is what welcomes us. It's not our own righteousness, but also Jesus' righteousness and friendship and faith in Jesus actually calls us to a new and better life where we desire to pursue and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let me pray. God, we thank you. God, we need you to speak to us, to increase our faith in you. Not so that we can earn your favor or be someone who is greater than others, but we need you to increase our faith so that we might pursue righteousness and goodness, because we desire new life, because we need new life, because we have all sinned and fall short of your glory. We need new life. We need your wholeness, your perfectness, and your goodness. So I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for this night. And would you just help us to go from here and think about what pursuing righteousness might look like? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.